back to us. Amen. Is that all right? And this is why it can be tricky business. Now, in this message today, I just want you to see two ideas. The first idea I want you to see is judging others. Judging others. And the second idea I want you to see is judging the goodness of God. Judging the goodness of God. Number one, judging others. And number two, judging the goodness of God. Now, it is not possible to live in a God-created world, because in the beginning, God did create this world. Notwithstanding the flawed theory of evolution, which would have us to believe that intelligence came from non-intelligent sources, who would have us to believe that consciousness came from unconscious sources, who would have us to believe that a windstorm blowing through a junkyard has the creative power to create a 747 jumbo jet. Now, nobody in their right mind would believe that. And when you look at this world with all of its order and design and symmetry, you know there has to be a mind behind this world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so you cannot live in this world and not be judged by other people. Amen. Sometimes you hear in personal exchanges, don't judge me. You ever said that in your life? Who made you to judge me? But you can't live in this world without being judged by other human beings. And sometimes you're going to be evaluated. You're going to be criticized. And of course, you'll be praised too. Hello? And sometime in life, you will be criticized by the people who are least qualified to criticize you. And sometime the greatest critic will be the one who ain't got no business criticizing. You see, because you can't live in a glass house. Oh, I wish I had some help here. And be criticizing people. And not only will you be judged, but you will also judge other people. We all have opinions and judgments about other people, because it's just not possible to live in this world and not be judged. It is not possible to live in this world and not have others to judge us. But remember this, judging can be tricky business. And if you're going to judge, try to make sure, how can I improve my ability to judge? Because I must do it. Amen. You can't live in this world without the Creator having a judgment of you. God has a judgment of all people. We all have a standing before God. God has, I wouldn't say it's an opinion, he has the truth about all of us. Almighty God has a book, and all of us have a standing and a status before God. Even though we may not think about it, he's thinking about us. And the reason I know he's thinking about us, because a bird cannot fall to the ground without God taking note. God has the very hairs of our heads numbered. Is that all right? So this is important to understand that God has a judgment about every one of us. He judged Job. He said, he is an upright and godly man who fears God. That was his judgment about Job. He said, concerning Abraham, I know him, that he will command his house after him. He said about David, when he was looking for a new king, he said, I'm looking for a man that is after my own heart. He judged Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He even judged Peter when Peter thought he was stronger than he was. He judged him and told him, Peter, before this night is over, you are going to deny three times. Not one time, not two times, but thrice. You're going to deny that you even know me. We all have a standing and a status before God. Either we are accepted by him or we are rejected by him. Is that all right? See, God can help us if we let him. Now, when we look at this text, if you have your Bibles, if you go back with me to Romans chapter 2, there are some precious considerations and insights in this particular text that helps us with judging. First of all, in verse 1, he says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another. You see, this is why judging can be tricky. Because while you're judging somebody else, you can be condemning yourself. And that's why I say it's like a boomerang. And if you're going to judge, you got to ask God to help you to render the right and the proper kinds of judgment that you need to render. He said that because while thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself because you're doing the same thing. You ever heard anybody condemning somebody and guilty of the same thing? It appears to me if you guilty of the same thing, you ought to have a little compassion for somebody. If you're struggling with something and somebody, and you got a fellow struggler, you ought to have some compassion. Don't be like the man in Luke 18 and went to pray. He said, I thank God I'm not like other folk. Well, he's judging right there. He was even judging in his prayer the publican standing there. But it boomeranged on him. Because it's tricky business. Is that all right? And then he said, look at the next verse. But then he said, but we are sure that the judgment of God, whenever God judges, it's going to always be right. It doesn't matter if all the folk disagree. God's still right. The whole world didn't agree. Eight folks agreed with him, and guess who survived? The eight folks. Is that because this is his world? But he's a righteous God. You know, we have judges in courtrooms. We have judges on contests. You got judges on American Idol. Hello? You got judges on the slam dunk contest. You even got judges in beauty contests. I wish I had some help here. But then you have the righteous judge of all the earth. And that's called God. He's the righteous judge. And all of us are going to stand before him. And one thing you don't have to worry about when you stand before God, that he's going to make up some charges on you. You ain't got to worry about that. Because God is going to deal in truth. And as I judge people, I need to ask the Lord to help me to deal in truth. For he says, look at verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. You know, we get into a time now in this world, and this world is getting so far from God and has rejected the Bible to such an extent that people don't even want you to preach about sin. You can't even call sin sin. But I'm going to call sin, sin. I got to call sin, sin. I got to reckon. You see, as I judge, I got to judge myself. And I have to recognize sin in my own life. That's what the publican did. He judged. He said, Lord, be merciful to me. It was his evaluation. For I'm a sinner. That's a judgment. We don't like nobody else calling us sinners. But that's what we is. That's what we are. Is that all right? Because judgment is always with God's standard. It is always according to truth. Now look at verse 3. And thinkest thou. Here's a flaw in human judgment right there. Here's a flaw right there. And sometimes when we're so critical and hard on somebody else and say, brother or my sister, let me get that chip out your eye. And here we are standing with a telegram post in our own eye. That's why judging, we got to judge, brothers and sisters. You can't get around that. But you got to try to make it as sure as you can. Is that all right? And thinkest thou, verse 3, O man that judges them which do such thing and doest the same? You condemning Sally Sue, but you doing the same thing Sally doing. And you down on Poor Sally. You won't cut Poor Sally no slack. Hello? And yet you think in your flawed thinking that I'm going to escape the judgment of God. Incorrect. Because I hear the psalmist saying in Psalms 139, whether shall I flee from your spirit? Whether shall I go from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of a morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall hold me and thy right hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the night shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, sir. The night and the day shineth alike unto thee. Right. Even the Hebrew writer said, how shall we escape if we neglect this great cell? And I want to tell you, it's great. Tony the Tiger said, you're great. Y'all remember that? And they really wasn't great with all that sugar. But this salvation is great. And we cannot escape the judgment of God. But there is a way to escape, and that is accept his son as your savior. Is that all right? Now here's the final point this morning, and that is judging the goodness of God. Has God been good to you? Is God good all the time? And all the time he's... Let me count the ways how the Lord has been good to me. Is that all right? Don't bring me a sheet of paper. Bring me a book, a notebook. I can give you 50 years of the Lord been good to me. Is that all right? Psalms 149 says the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies over all his creation. Is that all right? God is so good, he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's so good, Brother Milton, he causes his sun to rise on the good and the evil. God blesses the churchgoer and the dope dealer. Is that all right? God blesses the humble, faithful servant, and the murderer and thief. He gets to reign as well. Then Acts 14:17 said that God has not left himself without witness in that he did good, giving us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now I want to raise a question. You say God been good to you? And let me ask you this. Even though you may not even be living right, God been good to you? Did you always been in church all your life? You always did right all the time? But yet you still got some blessing, didn't you? God was blessing you when you was doing stuff you know. And you might still be doing some stuff you know. You ain't got no business. But yet God is still blessing you. I want to raise a question. How you judge it? How do you judge his goodness? What is his goodness designed for you to do? His goodness is designed to have an impact on your thinking. I mean, since the Lord has been good to me, I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to praise his name. Since the Lord has been so good to me, I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to give him some obedient thanks. What can I render to the Lord for his goodness to me? Is that all right? I tell you, just to be alive and to have health and strength, God is good. If you got shoes on your feet, God is good. If you got clothes on your back, God is good. If you got a song on your lips, God is good. If you have a sense of well-being this morning, God is good. But my question is, how do you judge it? You got to judge. Do you think his blessings are just going to keep on? He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over. Now he keeps blessing me over, over, over. Now he gets sweeter and sweeter than day. Oh, what a love between my Lord. I keep falling in love with him. Oh, oh, oh. Now he keeps blessing me over. Over and over, now he keep blessing me. Over, over, over. Now he gets sweeter. Oh, I keep falling in. Oh, over and over, over again. How do you judge the goodness of God? Should it have an impact on my life? Yes, it should. You know, God is so good that he doesn't punish me right away for my sins. I need two passages, Brother Hillary. I need Ecclesiastes 8:11, and I need 2 Peter 3:9. What are you saying, man? You up here helping your daddy today? I believe you're going to read when he gets where he can't read, huh? I see you got your Bible over there. That's your Bible there? Okay, your daddy said, don't tell me all that. Amen. You had that, Brother Hillary? What does that say? Read it, my brother.
Because sentence against an evil
work
is not executed speedily.
Since I was creeping last night. Did I say something? And it seemed like I got away. Like the time, man, Claudia, I was driving, my mind was kind of gone. You ever been driving, your mind just be gone? And man, I was driving and the light was red. And I'm looking right at it and went right through that baby. And just so happened, the police wasn't nowhere to be found. But I broke the law. I didn't intend to run it, but in the end, that's what I did. So God does not punish me, even though I deserve to be punished. Even though I deserve to die, here's what the great God of heaven say: you deserve to be killed, but I ain't gonna kill you now. Because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to lead you somewhere. Read, Brother Hillary.
Because
sentence against an evil work
is not
executed speedily.
Therefore,
so people misread and misjudge the goodness of God. Therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man, come on,
is fully set in them
to do evil. The rich man, was God good to him? His fields brought forth bountifully. Did they not? And what did he say? Did he misread God's goodness? What did he say? I'm going to tear down these bonds and I'm going to build some bigger bonds. Is that all right? But God said, you've misread it. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:9 now. See what that says. 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning
his promise. Now, the Lord is not slack about his promise keeping.
As some men count
slack. Now, some people, they make promises, but they're slack about fulfilling them. Yeah. You know any folks like that? Yeah. You like that? Come on, y'all. Read, Brother Hillary.
But his
long-suffering to whom?
To us.
To us what?
Not willing that any
and the reason God allows me, even though I ain't living right, it's because I'm misjudging. I woke up this morning and I didn't say thank you, Lord, for another day's journey. When I go to sleep at night, I don't say thank you, Lord. I just jump in the bed and start the snoring. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Not willing that any should perish.
Not willing that any should perish. And the reason God is good, and we're going to see this, is because, and if I'm living in sin right now and I won't repent, is because I'm misjudging the goodness of God.
Okay.
I'm going to show you that from the Bible. Read, Brother Hillary.
But that all should come to repentance.
But and the reason God is giving me time, how many need time this morning? I need some time to get myself together. Hello? Because you ain't always been this pretty. Is that all right? Not willing that what, Brother Hillary?
That any should perish.
Because God is good, he's helping me where I won't perish.
Amen.
Let's go back to Romans 2. We're going to close out. Romans 2 now, Brother Hilbert, and let's look at verse 4 and 5. We're going to wrap this lesson up.
Or despisest thou the riches of his
glory? Now, despise doesn't mean to hate. Long time ago, people said, well, I despise you. Well, they meant hate, but in the Bible, it's not talking about hate. It's talking about where you just don't regard it as valuable. You don't count it as being worth anything. Sometimes people can be good to you and you despise that. Sometimes you might have a good friend and you mistreat that friend and you lose that friend and you say, oh, where did that friend go? Is that all right? So we can despise. Sort of like the lady was talking about her car. She had a raggedy car. It smoked. It backfired. And, you know, and it sputtered along, but she was riding. And then that old car broke down. And then she said, well, you know, old broke down car, bet no car. Is that all right? She was despising that. Come on, let me read it.
Or despises thou the riches of his
kingdom. The riches. I want to let you know right now, we're experiencing the goodness of God. We're sitting in this building. We're not under threat of duress. And we're experiencing the goodness of God. And sometimes we don't appreciate a calm, beautiful day like today until long track tornadoes get on the ground and stay on the ground for 200 miles. Huh? And then you can appreciate a beautiful sunny day like today. Is that all right? A beautiful October day. But sometimes we don't appreciate a day like this until we contrast it with stormy weather. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
And forbearance.
And you, do you despise? How do you read? You say God's been good to you. What impact is it making on your thinking and your attitude and your values and your behavior? If God is good to you, what difference does it make in the way you think and what you value and how you conduct yourself? Because his goodness, Psalm 100 verse 5 said, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures unto all generations. God was good to my great, my grandmother. God was good to my mother. And God is good to me. God is good to my children. Can you say amen to that? God is good to me on my job. I got a job. God allows me to live in this world without this world living in me. God allows me to hold down a job without that job holding me down because God is good. God allows me to get off my sick bed because God is good. God allows me to shake my depression because God is good. What is the impact? Since he's so good to you. When somebody say God is good all the time and all the time, God, and you agree. How does that affect you? How does it affect you? Do you live better? Do you try to climb a little higher? Do you strive a little harder? Read, Brother Hillary.
Not knowing the
goodness of knowing. God. She said, not knowing. You're misjudging it. And I would cautiously say that most humanity, most people are misjudging God's goodness. Some people think when God is good, that is an opportunity for them to pile up more sin. Hello, lights. Read, Brother Hillary.
Not knowing that the
goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God
leadeth thee to repentance.
It, God's goodness is leading me somewhere. I applied for the job and God let me get the job. He's good. I got a raise on my job. I applied for the loan and the loan went through because God is good. I went to the doctor. I had a test and the test came back negative because God is good. He's good all the time. But the question is, what difference does that make in how you think? What difference does that make in your attitude? What difference does that make in your behavior? I would cautiously say that most people, even in the church, misread His goodness. His goodness does what, Brother Hillary?
Of God leadeth thee to repent.
God's goodness is designed, when we say God is good all the time, that's designed to lead me. And God is not going to lead you like a horse. He's not going to put a bit in your mouth. You're not a mule or you are an intelligent human being made in the image and the likeness of God. And He uses you. He leads you through your thought process. He leads you through clear thinking. He leads you through sound judgment. He leads you through solid behavior. You say God is good to you? I'm closing. Does it affect the way you think? If somebody been good to you, you ought to say thank you. If somebody been good to me, I don't pay them back by burning down the house. That ain't how you pay people back for being good to you. And you know, most people are good at heart. And when most people do something good for somebody in their life, all they simply want is a thank you. That's all they want. It's for you to acknowledge my expression to you. Is that correct? So, was that Jesus calling? Amen, because if he is, we'll let him come on in. Amen. It's designed to lead me. Let me leave you with this. Was that five you read? Let's read five. What does five say?
After thy hardness and impenitence.
So if I misread God's goodness and I don't allow it to lead me to repentance, what I'm doing is I'm hardening my heart. That's what I'm doing. If I say he's good and it doesn't affect any changes in my life for the better, and I'm saying he's good, but I'm still thinking the way I was thinking, I'm still had the same attitude I had, the same behavior, then I am hardening my heart. God is working on my heart, and so is sin. Read, Brother Hillary.
Treasurest up.
So if I say God is good and he's leading me, and I didn't let a lot of it to affect me, I'm treasuring up wrath, a punishment. Read.
Against the day of wrath.
Against the day of what?
Wrath and revelation. Wrath. Of the righteous judgment of God.
Of the, and that, there it is again, the righteous judgment. I want to tell you, if I be lost, and God, I pray to God I won't ever be lost. I heard a preacher say yesterday that once you get saved, you can never be lost. Now, I got to admit, on one level, that's very comforting. Oh, yeah, I mean, from a psychological standpoint, from a therapeutic position, that sounds very comforting. But the only thing about it, I know it ain't right. Amen. But I will say this. If I can't be lost, why does the Bible say, how shall I escape if I neglect this great salvation? That doesn't make sense if I can't be lost. But let me say this. But I will say that if I am lost, it will be the righteous judgment of God. God won't be wrong. I'll be wrong. And sometimes God allows people to have the Burger King mentality. He's good to them. He blesses them. Still blesses you. Everything going well in your life. You ain't got no major hits. Got a little money. Thing looking good on the job. Investments looking good. 401k look good. Your IRA looking good. Hello? They ain't working out. Children acting right. The dog didn't bite the cat. The cat didn't scratch you. So things are looking good. Is that right? And if I don't think about where all this goodness is coming from into my life. In the Wednesday night Bible class, we're talking about God's secrets of peace, prosperity, and happiness. It's a great study. We invite you to come and be a part of it, if you can. How about that? And one thing I've been doing this week, because I was teaching this, one thing we studied about, and that was, don't worry about anything. How many worry today? Yeah. It's just a natural thing to worry. But you know what I did? Here's what the Bible say. And Brother Milton quoted it this morning. You quoted it, brother. Be anxious for nothing. But everything. Everything you going through. You got a financial situation? Tell him about it. Got a health issue? Tell him about it. Got a family crisis? Tell him about it. Got a neighborhood situation? Tell him about it. Every detail. With thanksgiving. No, it ain't going totally like I wanted, but you know what? Do you know what? I still got a reason to be thankful. Is that all right? And so instead of worrying about it, pray about it. Tell him every detail of what you're dealing with thanksgiving. And the God of peace will send you a peace. In fact, you ain't got time to worry if you're busy praying. Hello? If you find yourself worrying, and even that is the manifestation of the goodness of God. Amen? So I'm going to my seat, but let me tell you this, that all of us in life have to make decisions. All of us in life have to draw conclusion. All of us in life have to reach conclusions. And the most important judgment you will ever render is what decision will you make about Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Who is Jesus? Whose son is Jesus Christ? Well, I tell you, he is the son of Abraham. He is, brother, what? The son of David. He is the son of the living God. Is that all right? What did they say about Jesus? Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was Isaiah. Some said he was Elijah. Some said he was one of the prophets. Some said he was a moral genius. Some said he was the greatest human being to ever live. Some said he was the most important human being to ever live. Is that all right? But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Is that all right? Jesus is all I need. And let me tell you, if you think that you can have a life that is rich and full without Jesus, you are mistaken. Is that all right? Because he came that I might have life and I might have it more abundantly. Is that all right? If you think you can have joy, real joy without Jesus, you are mistaken. Is that all right? Because sometime in life, the rain must descend. Sometime in life, the wind must blow. Sometime in life, sweeping, swirling, flood waters rise. Is that all right? But if you know Jesus, you can say, I still have joy. I still have joy after all the things I've been through. I still have joy. Is that all right? Jesus is my bridge over troubled water. And Sister Scott, I'm so glad today I serve a great Savior. Wouldn't want a Savior who couldn't raise the dead. I would want a Savior who couldn't make the cripple walk. I would want a Savior who couldn't open the eyes of the blind. I would want a Savior who couldn't feed the hungry. I would want a Savior who couldn't make crippled legs walk. Is that all right? And I would want a Savior who couldn't save the guilty. He's a great Savior. And I've rendered a judgment about him. And I decided I'm going to follow Jesus. That's my judgment. I've judged him, Sister Smith. And I'm convinced he is the Son of the living God. And so I say, ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee. Amen. So judging is tricky business. And if you're going to judge, judge according to righteous judgment. Would you stand, please? That's the message this morning. If there's one here today, want to make a judgment. Has God been good to you? God been good to you? What you going to do about it? What you going to say to thank him for being good to you? For having you in health and strength today. Ain't he been good to you? Oh, yeah, he's been good to me. And I just want to say thank you for all that you've done for me. And Lord, help me when I judge to use sound principles. Help me, Lord, that when I judge, that I'm not merely judging according to appearances, but I'm judging according to truth. Amen. Well, anybody can judge today and say, I need a Savior. If you want a Savior, let me tell you how you can have him. Because you're going to make a judgment right now. If you're sitting on a jury, you make a judgment. Either you say guilty or not guilty. Well, this is invitation time now. Everybody here is going to render a judgment. Because right now you can get the church to pray for you. Right now, you can confess sins and get forgiveness. Right now, you can accept Christ as your Savior. And everybody here is going to render a judgment. But the only question is, will you render a judgment according to truth? According to your real situation? Do you need some help this morning? Do you need counseling this morning? You got to make a judgment. But Brother Moss, well, how can I accept Christ as my Savior? By hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17. By believing in John 3, 16. By repenting of your sins, Acts 17, 30. By confessing Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And by being baptized. No, you can't pray your way into Christ. You got to be baptized into Christ. I know preachers are saying that. They've taken water out the plan, but God put water in the plan. Is that all right? Some people who are not present today have made a judgment. And they judge this service was not worth attending. My spiritual life is just not that important. Every day we're making a judgment. Amen? If you decide to take the job or reject the job, you're making a judgment. If you make a proposal to the girl and the girl say, yeah, she making a judgment. If she said no, she making a judgment. And you can't escape the reality that we all must make judgments. Now we extend the Lord's invitation. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad you know me. Oh, we praise our God. Oh, yeah. We're one big family. We live to reach the sky. Oh, and I so glad. Oh, you gave your life. I'm glad I know you. Well, I'm glad you know me. We pray our God. Oh, yeah. We're one big family. We lift our head to reach the sky. Lord, and I'm so glad, Lord, you gave in your life.